Immigration from Mexico is one of the most frequently debated topics on the political landscape, but far less is said about the poverty that forces so many Mexicans to want to leave their homeland. A University of Arizona professor is working on a book that offers a new and surprising explanation for why Mexico is so poor. We'll hear more next in this interview with Claudine LaMonaco.
For University of Arizona Regents History Professor Oscar Martinez, Mexico's poverty isn't just an academic pursuit. He grew up in Juarez during the 1940s.
It was a very poor neighborhood. My mother, five kids. My father worked in the U.S., and he was just an ordinary worker, worked illegally for many years. And he would visit once or twice a year, stay for a while, and then come back. And so there were a lot of challenges, and the kids had to work.
Martinez says his mother instilled in him the hard work and discipline that later paved the way for his life as an academic. As a boy, he crossed the border regularly and always wondered why Mexico was so poor while the United States was so rich. He says the answers he got at school and later in college never made a lot of sense.
One of the things that I would hear is that the United States just had a better work ethic because the Puritans introduced the idea that if you work hard, you put yourself in the way of grace and God looks favorably upon you, and it's a sign that you are among the saved. But I was never exposed to any of that, and all around me, people were working hard, and they had never heard of the Protestant ethic. So I came to the realization that a lot of this stuff was just nonsense.
Martinez lays out a very different explanation for Mexico's poverty, and it challenges dearly held assumptions on both sides of the border. It's similar to the argument in Jared Diamond's Guns, Germs, and Steel. A country's destiny is largely shaped by its geography and natural resources. Martinez begins by looking at forces outside of Mexico, and in particular, the United States.
Mexico has had a very difficult relationship with the United States. There was even a war that happened in the 19th century, and as a result of that war, Mexico lost half of its national territory, and it was the better half. It included provinces like Texas and California, and those are extremely prosperous areas because they're among the most favorable spaces on Earth. They have a lot of resources and a great capacity for economic productivity. And so therefore, that's where one has to begin in examining Mexico's external relationship.
You talk a lot about the role of the environment, which you mentioned a little bit in talking about the land that Mexico lost. I've heard you compare it to real estate, with the famous saying, you know, location, location, location.
Absolutely. Location is extremely important. The United States has an exceptional location on the planet. So does England and all those Western European countries. In Japan, all these developed countries are located around a belt that has a temperate climate. And most of the developed countries are in the northern hemisphere. And it makes a big difference if you are located around this belt around the planet and not in a tropical area or not in an Arctic zone, because the weather is much better in a temperate area. It's more variable. You have the four seasons. You have freezes that come along and destroy bugs that carry diseases. And in the tropical zone, it's always warm, and diseases are a big problem. The soils are not as good because the sun is always beating down on the earth and taking away nutrients, and torrential rainfalls are very destructive. And Mexico is in that tropical zone and suffers from these limitations. So the U.S. just has a great advantage in that sense.
One of the other issues that you mentioned along the lines of environment was coasts, harbors, and hinterlands. What do you mean by that?
Well, coasts are extremely important in an economic sense. If you look at the coast of the United States, the United States has a coast that are flat. and they have all these natural harbors. And so you look at ports like Boston and New York and other ports on the East Coast. And then on the West Coast, you have San Francisco and Los Angeles and Seattle and so on and so forth. And those coasts not only are ideal for these world-class ports, but they also tap into the resources of the hinterlands in the interior. Mexico has terrible coasts, and Mexico has very few natural harbors, and Mexico is really hurt by these mountain ranges that go from north to south on both the east side of Mexico and the west side of Mexico and constrain economic activity in those coasts, apart from being located in these tropical areas where the climate is very unhealthy.
I hear Mexicans say all the time that their country is rich in resources. What's your response to that?
Mexico is well endowed with resources. If you compare Mexico to other Latin American countries, like in Central America, if you compare it to African countries, but if you compare it to the United States, there's just no comparison. Mexico is a poor country in resources compared to the United States, except in areas like having precious metals like silver and gold, and then having a lot of copper. And it has a whole bunch of minerals. But the greatest limitation of Mexico is very little good land for agriculture.
What have you said? It's 10 to 20% of the land is maybe arable?
10 to 12%. And that's small, but it's worse than that because this land is scattered all over the country. And remember, the country is two-thirds mountainous, and so a lot of the good land is in isolated valleys. And it's very different from the United States, where our land is greatly concentrated. The big green spots of the United States, the breadbaskets, the Midwestern United States, for example, all over the U.S., you have great concentrations of land. That doesn't exist in Mexico.
Martinez presents an unsparing take on Mexico's reality, but he does see signs of hope, particularly in Mexico's dramatically decreased birth rate. Martinez expects to finish his book sometime this year. For Arizona Spotlight, I'm Claudine LaMonaco.